All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. We're joined by the chief of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, Chief Paul Suchelski. Chief, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's first walk where, first of all, on the case, on finding whoever did these shootings downtown. Where are we at 2 o'clock on Monday?
Well, we're progressing very well, but we still have a lot of work to do. We have interviewed three of the five victims. Two are not able to speak with us yet. We had several witnesses down there at the scene Saturday night that were able to give us some information. And basically, since Saturday night, we've been following up on those leads. And we do have a couple names, but nothing to release, just names we're following up on. We're trying to verify those folks in terms of were they there, did they have any involvement, but no real good leads on a true suspect yet.
The situation was this a large crowd, several hundred young people on the canal? Was this a small crowd? Was this a group of people who were who the victims related to each other? I know because they're juveniles, names have not been released, nor should they be at this point. But in terms of anything you can give us, I understand there may have been relationships between the victims and alleged shooters.
There really wasn't anything that we know of that precipitated this shooting. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a large crowd. In fact, right before the shooting occurred, we had a number of officers that were actually on Ohio Street right near the fire station.
Right.
They had received a call there on a large fight. When they arrived, it was really breaking up. The officers got there, people were scattering. It was pretty much over. While they were tending to that, the officers actually heard the shots about 50 yards north of where they are between Ohio and New York Street. Many of them actually ran to the scene rather than get in their cars and try to drive around. That's how close that they were. There's no indication that there was any kind of a fight or anything like that. We believe these two groups have some type of history, disagreement, egos. Not really sure.
Not sure whether it's gang, whether it was quote-unquote gang.
Right. I mean, you know, I think, you know, some of the names we have heard, there are some gang implications. But, you know, again, was it a gang shooting or something like that? You know, we still have a lot of answers or a lot of questions to answer.
The young people have been hanging at the canal for at least a year, in my knowledge. Is that fair to say, maybe a little bit longer than that on Saturdays?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, sure.
Have there ever been problems prior to this on the canal with fights or shootings or somebody pulls out a knife or just something just totally weird that required police intervention?
Well, certainly nothing to this extent. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that every Saturday we have officers down there. We have park rangers down there. We have a great partnership with the Capitol Police who mm-hmm. also provide us with manpower down there. So every weekend, there are officers there. Now, there's not 1,000 of them, mm-hmm. But we do monitor it. We are there all the time. We've had a few fights. We've had some people that called us and said they felt intimidated, but certainly nothing of this magnitude, no shootings or anything like that prior to Saturday night.
In terms of because we got juveniles involved, you know, people are assuming certain, you know, situations. Can you confirm that all of the victims were African American?
Yes.
Okay. Because again, there were some Twitter things early on that was kind of confusing. What will happen this weekend? Because we've got Guerin Catholic, we've got Pike, and we've got Park Tudor, mm-hmm. And Carmel. As part of the mix for the basketball championships, which are at, is it Bankers Life or is it at Lucas Oil? I get confused as to
I think it's at Bankers Life.
At Bankers Life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also there's a, I believe it's a Nike volleyball tournament where we expect over 20,000 young ladies to be competing in a large
That's at the convention center?
That's in the convention center, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a lot
typical
of
slow day downtown.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, I think, you know, I mean, we know when the events are, and have the manpower down there to handle that. For example, last Saturday, we had extra officers downtown because it was St. Patrick's Day, so we always expect the bars to be more heavily occupied. The motocross, whatever
yeah,
they
motocross.
Call it, was there at Lucas Oil, which brought another 65,000 people because it was a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
So we anticipated that crowd and had extra officers down there. This weekend, again, knowing that we'll have all these kids, all these families downtown for these two great events, we'll have extra officers downtown as well.
239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos. We're Chief Paul Suchelski. You made some comments, you know, in the media, including in the paper this morning about unescorted young people. And again, we don't know, you know, how many young people were down there, but you're saying it was a small crowd. Because when people hear about teens downtown, they have the perception of what may have occurred at major events. So they're thinking Classic, or they're thinking Summer Celebration, or they're thinking 4th of July. So they're thinking hundreds and thousands. But this could have been like a real small crowd.
Well,
than the studio, obviously, but
the numbers in terms of this incident were pretty small. Mm-hmm. The issue of kids coming downtown and maybe starting at the mall and then heading through the streets of downtown on a Saturday night, you know, usually typically we're talking 200-400 kids. Most are well behaved, most are well intentioned, but I think this Saturday issue kind of shows the whole problem. These kids were not out particularly causing problems, but because they were young, unescorted, unchaperoned, they end up becoming victims, which I think could have been prevented with some good chaperoning or some parental guidance.
But what's the difference between chaperoning downtown? And a kid is dropped off at the movie theater at Glendale, mm-hmm. and then they walk to Target, or they walk across to Macy's, or they walk over to the Jimmy John's, or they walk over to the Pizza Hut. Or they're out at the movie theater at 86th and Zionsville Road, and they walk across the parking lot to the ice cream place, or they walk into Marsh. You know, they could get hit by an anvil. They could get run over by a car. Somebody could do a drive-by out there. What's the difference between an unescorted kid in those scenarios in downtown?
I don't think there is one. And I know you asked them some questions before I came in here about would we have the same attention if this shooting occurred somewhere else. I would hope so, mm-hmm. because it's the youth that's involved. Where do teenagers get guns, and why are they going anywhere, let alone downtown, shooting at each other? That's the bigger issue. So yeah, if I have a 9-year-old kid that's at Glendale walking from A to B, that concerns me as well. It's not just a downtown issue. We're just talking about that right now because of what happened.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's afternoon's names. Let me go to the phone. Start with Calvin. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was calling. First of all,
Hello? Calvin? Calvin going once. We lost. Yeah, hi, Calvin. You there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Yes. What's up?
First of all, I was calling because, you know, I understand what the public safety officer said, and I understand what the chief of police is saying. But what gets me the most is that I know it's an isolated incident, but it seems like every time African-American kids are involved, the city and the city officials blows it out of proportion and always want to blame the parents of the parents of the victims, and blame the child, and that we need to have supervision. We don't hear that outcry when you have white kids going to public schools shooting other 15-year-olds. You don't blame the parents. You don't blame the community. But it's always seemed like you don't want, for me, I'm not from Indianapolis, but what I understand, what I see, and my relatives coming to town, they don't want blacks downtown, period. That's how I feel. You don't really want us down there unless we actually absolutely spending money. Now, when our kids come down there, it always seems to be a problem. And that's just, you know, the community, I'm really hurt. I'm really offended when the public safety officer came on TV and said that yesterday in his initial interview. Then I hear the chief of police, well, here's a problem when we have kids come down with guns and this and that. But you got 19-year-old white kids to go to school. I don't hear you upcry about that. You know, Amos, that's just the way I feel. That's the way I see it here in Indianapolis. That's how I feel.
All right, I appreciate it, my brother. Let me go to Anonymous 1 at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
And to the chief of police, I am a adult senior, and I ride the bus downtown. And it seems to be the problem is those kids ride the bus downtown. The buses all line up on Ohio. And there's Caucasian kids, black kids out there just cursing and cutting up. And sometimes I'm very proud of our police when they monitor over at the post office and get those kids who are selling dope down there. And some of them act like animals. They just arguing and cursing and everything. Some are respectful. Some of them ask you, can they smoke around you? And some of them will say, excuse me, miss, I didn't mean to curse. I hope that didn't offend you. But for the most part, Most of them are disrespectful, they're belligerent, and arguing with each other and pushing. But I was very proud to see two of the police come down and walk through the areas. It made me feel comfortable, made me feel secure to know. When I saw them, I was happy. But those young kids down there, I think the biggest problem, they come down on the buses. And here they come in massive amounts of kids out there. And maybe if they had some of the parents who are retired, or not myself because I am not well, but if they had some of the parents who would monitor them. I saw a group of guys, I think they were called the Dads from somewhere.
They're in the mall.
Walk through Ohio Street, and I said, thank God. So, but I want to commend the chief of police. All policemen aren't bad. When we need them, they're there. And I was very proud to see two of them. They didn't agitate or nothing. They just walked through to let those wild kids, not all of them, but a lot of them were wild and arguing. They let them know that they were there. They had their guns with them. They kept their professional stance. And I would just have, but have some of the grandfathers who are in that ministerial group come down on Ohio Street and walk through during the weekday, and show their presence. So some of these kids know.
Say not just on the weekend.
No, come
all right,
down
that's,
during the weekday.
All right, let me let the chief respond. That's a great suggestion, Anonymous.
I just want to say thank you very much. You know, we know those good things happen all the time, and we don't always hear about them, so I appreciate your words. You know, one of the things I want to talk about, too, is when this shooting happened and we had officers run to the scene, we actually had two officers that tended to the medical needs of two of these victims that one, for sure, without that officer's intervention, I don't think would have made it. Mm-hmm. She had an injury to her leg that nicked one of the arteries, and ooh, the officer's medical training, he was able to apply pressure, put a tourniquet on until the medical people got there. So, I mean, they do a great, great job every day, and I appreciate your comments.
239-1310, back to the phones. And Tracy, hi there.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And thank you to the chief for taking time to be on the Amos Brown broadcast. We appreciate you, Amos, and for all the guests you bring. But I just wanted to make a comment on the statement about if parents would have been down on the canal with the young people, especially the ones that were shot. That would basically just mean that then if there were parents or guardians, bullets don't just shoot young people. They don't have eyes. Then the parents probably would have been shot. The problem is the shooters, those parents needed to have been instrumental in preventing that, and we of course know that's the issue. But yes, it's warmer earlier now. This is March and we have summer weather. A task force of some type needs to be developed and put into place, because we have a lot of young people, black, white, Hispanic, all nationalities. They're all not bad children, but we all know we do have some bad seeds in that bunch. And governing those areas where people populate to have fun, hang out, a task force has to be put in place continuously. It needs to be something that's 7 days a week, maybe heavier on the times when we know young people are going to be out, but the summer's going to be upon us. And if this is the beginning of spring and it's happening, something has to be done. And it would mean all parties, clergy, the police department, whatever other sources need to come to the table and get a means as to how this can be nipped in the bud. How can it be managed so that we don't have loss of life? So I appreciate the police department. I appreciate, like the woman who just spoke, everyone's not bad. But we all just need to work together to come to a solution to this problem. And thank you very much for letting me speak.
Tracy, I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310. Chief, one of the things that I hear from young people, that B. Swift and Ladina Brown hear from young people, is there's not a lot of things for them to do. That's one. And two, those folks who try to put something together, individual entrepreneurs, the city, not necessarily IMPD, but code enforcement, makes it so difficult for anyone to even try to do a dance. That the days of under 21 dances or high school dances basically non-exist. From a law enforcement standpoint, are there safeguards and certain procedures that could be put in place to allow 15 dances to be held in this city and county?
Well, I think so. I mean, not at the expense of breaking the law, obviously. And, you know, again, our first and primary concern is that of public safety, obviously. So we all know there's all kinds of unoccupied old stores or something that all of a sudden just a party pops up. And those, though typically, again, generally speaking, sometimes those places are filled with fire code violations, you know, electrical wiring and stuff because it's been gutted from that business. So just to throw a party in there and say, hey, let's go in there, it's not that easy. You know, that's really a case for the code enforcement to answer. But that's our concern. And I think we've seen those nationally where, you know, those tragedies happen there as well. So it's a, it really is first and foremost a public safety concern. We're certainly not trying to avoid people coming together and having fun.
But is this something where Tracy mentioned a task force? Is that given that this was not a convention weekend? This was not Expo. This was not Classic. This was not NCAA. This was not high school basketball or high school football. Is this something where the task force ought to be reconvened to look at the to look at some of these larger issues in terms of safety, you know, maybe in terms of getting the guns out of the hands of – because, you can't get a gun permit at 17, 15, or 14, so the Second Amendment does not apply. You shouldn't have – yeah, hopefully I can get the NRA to agree with me that a 16-year-old should not have a weapon, period. Now, if I can get them to agree, then we're all going home. But do we really need to look at recreational things? We had earlier, OK program was here, Girl Scouts were here, and I asked Girl Scouts, do we need a consortium of our major youth organizations to maybe sponsor teen dances? They're not going to go into an abandoned warehouse without a proper safety code. They'll have the proper insurance. They'll have the mentoring expertise to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. You know, I think as unfortunate as this incident was, and believe me, I wish it never happened, now I hope this is the catalyst to bring people to the table together, because I'm telling you, this is not just a police problem. We cannot arrest ourselves out of this issue. We cannot just put a police officer on every corner and hope that something doesn't happen, because the issues are bigger than that. And I understand, you know, we hear that all the time too. There's nothing else to do. Well, I can tell you, you know, from a church perspective, for example, there's all kinds of things that church are doing in terms of activity. Mm-hmm. There are youth groups. There are community centers. There are things to do. You know, whether or not that interests youth or not, then that's another discussion. But we really need to bring everybody to the table to solve this community issue.
Let me go back to the phones. And Anonymous, hi there.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for the time to give me to speak here. First of all, I'd like to speak out about Calvin when he talked about the difference between poor and rich.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, what, Chief, you know, crime, I don't care if you got $1,000 in your pocket or a dollar in your pocket. Crime happens between the poor and rich. So Calvin, I think, was just talking out of the side of his neck. As Chief, I agree with you as far as what Dana Brown said, there's nothing in the city for us, for the youth to do. There's a lot in the city for the youth to do, and if Ms. Brown feels there's not enough to do, maybe her and some of her colleagues need to invest into a building for the youth, something to do, and stop talking about it and be about it. And also, I like to say, as far as Pastor Mujabu, who's running for Congress, I heard him overstate that he's not trying to regulate anything. How can you run for Congress of the United States and make a statement like that over the radio talking about you're not trying to regulate anything when that's all they do in the House of Congress is regulate? We need to have regulations on video games. Chief, I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
During the St. Paddy's Day weekend, and we know how the Irish like to drink. How much of drunk driving was up for that weekend, sir?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. Honestly, I have not looked at those figures yet. I could find those out and report them back to Amos.
But and the patrols were out because that is St. Patrick's Day weekend, along with some others, is when the combined law enforcement are out there looking to get the drunks off the road.
I did hear a news report, too, that the state police had several checkpoints and got over two dozen arrests on DUI.
Ladina Brown of League Magazine, who was on the task force that dealt the last time we had this problem, Anonymous, feels there's a lot of things for young people to do. Is it a question of there's no central place that gathers all of that?
Well, I think that it would be a good idea when someone mentioned forming another task force, I think it would be a good idea for some of those things that are available for youth to do to be highlighted a little bit more, because it may not be that there's nothing at all for them to do, but they may not know the details of how to get involved in those things, or those things may not interest them. I don't think that there's a lot for youth to do as far as entertainment is concerned.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310. It's after news. I'm going to take two more calls. I'm going to let the chief go because maybe while he's here, I know the detectives are out. How many detectives are on this?
A bunch? I would say probably at least a dozen. We have two that are the primary lead investigators. Then we have branches. We have the gang unit working on it. We have some other detectives that are helping with some of the research and that. So there's quite a few.
Let me go to Jackie. Hi there.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I'm going to ask this question. Why do people blame the parents? Because you can have your child, like I did, in boys club from 6 until 14, and then at church, and then still they go out, and you not know what they're doing, what they haven't. And I didn't find out until all my kids were grown that they had guns, that they went out, and they were in gangs, like, not like these kids, but, four or five people. And then they, how did I know? I worked, and I do know one of my sons was such that I tried to get him in the juvenile center, but they said they didn't have an incorrigible law. I went, they took, called me from work. I went downtown to pick him up, and this one police said, if I see you downtown one more time, I'm going to kick your ass. That's what the police said. Now, I went, I kept going and kept going. So finally, he had a fight at school, and he stuck a child in the eye. Then they took him out of my home, put him in Jabal for Boys, and still, I'm like, I tried my best. I worked, a single mother, five kids. I worked and thought these kids were doing so. How can you blame a parent when they had friends and we went places, bowling, right. We went skating, we did different things, as a group, my kids and their friends, but still, they had guns. This is what my oldest son said lately. He said, Mama, he said, you did your best. You were their guardian. He said some of this stuff was already in their mind they were going to do when they were 13, and you couldn't change their mind. So how do we really?
Great. Let me let the chief respond. Great question, and then let B. Swift also respond. Chief?
Well, I don't know if I would use the word blame. I think I would just use the word be responsible. One of the questions earlier, I wrote down a note so I wouldn't forget, about chaperone. And one of the problems is we see 9-year-old kids and their chaperone is their 12-year-old brother or sister. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the parental role comes in. And again, maybe they're not down there to cause any problems, but potentially they can become a victim as well.
She also, Jackie also talked about parents who do try to do the right thing for their kids, or maybe their kid is kind of rebellious, and then they kind of reach out for help and they can't get the help. Do we need to maybe relook at, those parents that are trying, and then they suddenly say, I can't do anymore. Can I get some help?
I think everything's on the table right now, and if they ask for help, I think we have an obligation to help them.
B. Swift?
I agree with the chief. He said it right from the beginning, so.
All right. 239-1310. I'm going to take one more call with the chief of police, then we'll take a break. Let me go to James right quick. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
It amazed me how this generation invented crime. Won't we just round the kids up and get them out of the city? Would a crime still go away? Crime is up all over the city, but we only focus downtown. Thank you, my friend.
James has a point. When we read the weekly statistics, Chief, it's up everywhere compared to the same period last year. As part of that, it's been warmer these first 3 months of the year than the first 3 months last year.
Well, I think, first of all, we're here talking about downtown because of what happened. But right. We certainly focus our crime-fighting efforts everywhere. And we have implemented just in the last couple of weeks a new operational crime fighting strategy where very, very briefly we identified, again, it's the hottest half-mile grid, and the East District has been doing this the longest, and mm-hmm. we are seeing great double-digit crime reductions in those areas over the last 6 months. We've implemented this citywide. Most of the districts have only done it for a month now, again, concentrating on people, behaviors, and places. And, again, it takes time. It takes the community. I'm telling you, this is my song, The Police Can't Do It Alone, whether it's downtown or in your neighborhood.
A couple of other things. The public safety director has talked about some kind of bicycle patrol downtown that would be unarmed, kind of a cross between, you know, bicycle friendly and what have you. The reason I raise this is given the tragedy that has occurred in Sanford, Florida, in the Orlando area, where a allegedly, supposedly unarmed neighborhood watch person is involved in a terrible tragedy, this Javon Martin tragedy. And this was not a police officer, not a sworn officer of the law, but just a volunteer who elected to take out a 9mm and get caught in a confrontation that more and more looks like ought to be at least first-degree murder. Is this something, given the high, now worldwide concern of this case, and we know the faith-based patrols will be walking, and everybody knows what they are, and they know that those are going to be legitimate community volunteers unarmed out there in positive. Should we rethink any kind of other volunteer patrol downtown?
Well, you know, generally speaking, I think it's a great idea, especially mm-hmm. with our shrinking budgets and our shrinking manpower. If we can utilize our community people, our citizens who are willing to volunteer some of their time to assist us, whether it's bike patrols or, answering phones and doing non-emergency police reports. We've talked about that kind of thing. I mean, I think it's a great idea, and I know there are people that are out there that are willing to do it. I think, obviously, with any program, we have to have good training. We mm-hmm. have to have good policies in terms of what their authority is and isn't, how they can respond to certain things. And I think those things, in particular to the bike program right now, are being worked out.
There will be, I understand it, faith-based patrols. Will that group be reaching out to the entire faith-based and other community, or are they just going to keep that with certain folk?
Well, I can tell you this. My arms are open for anybody that wants to help in terms of faith-based. And we had a meeting this morning and a very good representation, and we will have a group downtown on Saturday that will be assisting us at the three major spots, the mall, the canal, and
the Banker's Life?
Yes. So they'll be walking around helping us. And I really do think that they do make a difference. I think a lot of times when we have young folk maybe get involved in a tussle or an argument, the presence of a pastor is different than the presence of a police officer. And I can tell you from my own experience walking around at Expo, I've actually seen them de-escalate incidents. So it is a help. It's not the only solution, but it is certainly a key to the puzzle.
Chief Paul Tuselski, the chief of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, thanks very much for being with us.